Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. A second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. I think most all of us are quite familiar with that great text. And I think that all of us on a regular basis should feel compelled to ask ourselves a simple question. Are we really doing our best? Well, we might respond, doing our best in regards to what? Well, from this context, are we doing our best to love God with all we've got? Are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? Are we doing our best to do that? Well, I think that's quite a challenge for all of us to stop and consider at any point in time in our lives. But certainly, because Jesus answered the question about which was the great commandment, this is Jesus' response. Brethren, I am greatly concerned about the Anderson Church. I am greatly concerned about each of us as disciples of Jesus Christ. I don't mean that in an alarming way. I mean that in a genuine, sincere way. I am concerned as to whether or not we are truly loving God with all we got. Are we truly loving our neighbor as best we can? Well, I think only you can answer that question. I certainly do not know the answer to that question for you. But the reason I am concerned, not only for the church, but for each of us as disciples, is that I think I know human nature. I think I know myself. This virus has turned our world upside down. Look at how the world has responded to this virus. Finger pointing, fear, violence. For me, the jury is still out on this whole COVID-19 thing. I still don't know who or what to believe. Yet people are dying all over the world. There are serious things that we have learned to deal with, and yet we carry on. For instance, auto deaths. In 2019, in the United States, there were 4.4 million injured in car accidents. That's 12,055 per day. 38,800 were killed in 2019 in the United States. That's 106 per day. In Alabama, and the latest facts that I could find was 2018, and there were 159,925 crashes. I would assume that is fender bender to totaled. That's 438 accidents a day in Alabama. 47,419 were injured. That's 130 a day. 953 died in Alabama alone in 2018. That's 2.6 a day. And yet, you still drive your car every day. We still allow our young people who are 16 years old to get their driver's license. But look at these statistics. The flu. We have continued to hear about the flu and the virus. Comparisons, etc. But let me bore you one more time with facts from the CDC. I say that tongue in cheek. 80,000 are reported to have died of the flu last year. That's 219 per day. Now, when you stop to consider that flu season is from October to May, that's 333 per day died of the flu last year. Normally, 12 to 56,000 die every year of the flu. And there are flu shots available. Some take them, some don't take them. Most of us take the chance of catching the flu. If I know Luann's got the flu, I'm going to stay away from her. If I know she's got the flu and she comes to church and she's got a fever and sweating and coughing and sneezing, we're all going to say, Luann, go home. Go home. Right? We want to stay away from it. We want to protect ourselves, right? But we do with that. We deal with that every year. Every year. Yet we are being told that COVID-19 spreads more easily and has a higher death rate than the flu. I don't know whether to believe that or not. COVID-19, according to facts, tongue in cheek, 3.58 million in the United States have been confirmed with this virus. 138,000 have died. Now these facts, tongue-in-cheek again, are as of Friday, July 17th. In the state of Alabama, there are 62,000 cases. There's been 1,200 plus deaths. March through July in Alabama alone, 8 people a day are dying of the flu. Does that scare you? It scares me. We learn to adapt, do we not? It may take time, but we learn to adapt, right? Whether auto deaths, flu, even COVID-19, we generally learn how to deal with it and move on as best we can. My question is, have we learned to adapt to our present COVID-19 problem? And if I was a psychiatrist, if I was a psychologist, if I was a counselor, I might ask you this question. How has all of this pandemic affected you? How do you feel about that? And my guess is, just in this number right here, everybody would have some sort of feeling about that. From anger, to disappointment, to frustration, all across the board. Well, what have we really done about it? What have we done about it? Well, I tell you, if you haven't been praying for our elders, if you've not been praying for all elders of all churches and or leaders of churches, they have faced a tremendous challenge. Canceling services initially. Live streaming. YouTube, Facebook, Zoom, parking lot services, FM radio. And today a combination of all the above. I don't even know what word to put there about us. I mean, we've got it all. if you can't be a part of the Anderson Church and get what you're needing or wanting, then pray tell us what you want or need. Because I think we're supplying anything and everything that's possible. But I would add this. May the good Lord have patience and mercy on all of us as we continue to struggle with what's best to do. I have not met a person yet, and that includes Dr. Fauci or President Trump, that knows the answers to all the questions. No one does. Or at least, if somebody does, they ain't telling it. Reason is out the window. Logical is out the window. Steve and I, Parker and I, were talking just before services. You know, one of the main issues that Paul warns the local church is to do all things decently in order, without confusion. And yet what we see in the world is right the opposite. From the media to across the board, here's the goal. Let's make everybody totally confused. Let's make everybody totally afraid. Let's make everyone fearful. And let's make sure everyone totally is upside down. I think that's the goal of this world. And so we face a great challenge, brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's why I'm so fearful and concerned about our church. Why I'm so fearful and concerned about you personally as a Christian. Because whether you want to admit it or not, most people are much more affected by the world and how you act than the church. We are. Because we're out there in it so much more than we are here. Faith plays an important role in how we act and how we are affected, infected, if you will, by the world. But after having said all of that, let me give you some more encouragement. Things seem to be getting worse. Back in March, I'm like you. I thought, a week, maybe 2 weeks or month at the most, then everything will be back to normal. What is this? July 19th? And we're still hearing things like maybe another year? Maybe 2 years? Are you kidding me? Do you think you can deal with all of this mess for another year? 2 years? Is it going to drive you completely bananas? Possibly. We all may wind up in the funny farm. I mean, it's crazy. I don't have all the answers, brethren, and I'm not up here on the stump claiming that I know better, know more, got all the answers. But there is something I am very sure of today. Sin brings death. You may get the virus and you don't even know you got it, so they say. You may get the virus and only cough one time, so they say. You may get the virus and have every symptom known to mankind for centuries. Have every one of them and die dead on a doornail in a short period of time. And then everything in between. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans 6 and verse 23. Typically, normally, we just quote that passage. I want you to put your eyes on these verses. Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. What does the text say? The text simply says this. I'm reading from the New American Standard. For the wages of sin is death. Here's the deal. I want you to make sure you understand this. If you get the flu, you might could die. If you drive your car, you might get killed. If you get COVID-19, you might die. You might. Yet what do? We drive our cars. We continue to work, do our thing with the flu. We're trying to figure out COVID-19, what we're supposed to do. I'm going to tell you something. Every single one of us will die if our sins aren't forgiven. That is a fact. One other passage. Turn over or back a few pages to Romans 3 and verse 23. Put your eyes on this passage. Normally we just quote this one. Everybody knows it by heart. But what does it say? Romans 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's probably someone in here that has driven a car and never had an accident. Just out of curiosity, who would that be? You've driven a car and never had an accident. One? Am I seeing one hand? Two hands? You know you just jinxed yourself, right? I would not drive the car today if I don't drive today. Is there anybody in here who has never had the flu? Raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five. Wow! Bunch of folks has never had the flu. Isn't that amazing? As many wrecks as there are, we've got folks that have never had a wreck. As many folks as there are, or get the flu, and a bunch of you have never had the flu. All right? Isn't that pretty amazing? Now let me ask you a real serious question, and you don't have to raise any hands. Which one of you has never sinned? Here's the way I might put that in my language. You are flirting with death. Shelter in place, wearing a mask, staying 6 feet apart, washing your hands, social distancing does not stop and or prevent sin. It just doesn't work. In fact, my concern for Anderson Church and each of us as disciples, COVID-19 has had a much greater effect on us as a church than it has with all of the cases and with all the deaths in the whole world. It has had a greater effect on us as a church and as Christians. And I want to suggest that we put it in the general category that just maybe we're not giving God our best with our love and service. Maybe we are not loving our neighbor as ourselves as we should. Now, I have no specific cases in mind. I have no specific people in mind per se. But I thought, after all of this time since March, I have tried my best to be as encouraging and uplifting as I possibly can, because I'm discouraged, you're discouraged, we don't know which way to turn, it's just dark days, it's just not good. But there's another side to this coin. Certainly we can all see, if we just look for a minute, our relationship with each other is being greatly affected or infected. Did you know that I might rightly say there are two basic ideas about the church? First, the church is all about worshiping and glorifying God. Secondly, the church is all about being seen and heard from one another. I want you to write that down. I want you to think about that. The church, secondly, is all about being seen and heard. Assembling as a church is all about one another. Encouraging one another. Loving one another, caring for one another, helping one another, teaching one another. We should not mask that. I'm not up here talking about if you didn't wear a mask, you're going to hell. If you wore a mask, you're going to hell. That is not a biblical issue, per se. I'm talking about, are we as a church, are we as Christians being seen and heard? Can you honestly say you've been doing that? But maybe we're afraid. Please turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I purposely did not do charts today, because I would probably put this verse up. I want you to turn in your Bibles. I want you to see firsthand from the Word of God what we find the church did in the first century. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, notice verse 25. That there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. I want to stop there just to make an editorial comment. The elders, I think, purposely said, we encourage you to wear a mask. The law that was mandated made the exception with churches and with speakers. And then we simply added the fact that you need to do what you feel is best to do. Some of you have worn masks. Some of you have not worn masks. I think that we need to appreciate each other's feelings, conscience about that. There's not a right or wrong about that. Churches should not be ugly and unkind to those on either side. Verse 27 says, or verse 26 says, and if one member suffers, then all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Did you notice there in verse 25 that it says the same care for one another? What we have a tendency to do as a mankind when we are afraid, when we are concerned, when we are fearful, what do? We put ourselves in seclusion. It's every man for himself. We don't concern ourselves about other people. We're only concerned about me. I want to tell you that that is completely wrong in regards to the church and the individual Christian. I'm not suggesting that we should not practice social distancing. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be cautious in regards to trying to catch the virus or not to catch the virus. But I'm concerned as to how it affects us as a church. It seems many, and I want to say this with a very broad stroke, and please give me kind attention about this. It seems that there are many, and there is Facebook evidence, that are doing lots of other very normal things. Playing ball, having get-togethers, having parties, going to public places, going on vacation, but they can't come to church. I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, there's a problem. You don't mind being seen and heard in the world, but you can't be seen or heard in the church. That's a problem. The church is to be seen and heard. Have you gotten that point yet? But there are some who are not being seen and heard. There are Christians who are members of this church that have not been seen of or heard of since all of this has been going on. Now, you have to hear this as well. This virus, I believe, should be taken seriously. There are a number of our members who have not gotten out. They've stayed in their homes. They are live streaming. First of all, I'm very thankful to God that we have the technology to be able to live stream. And I'm very thankful to God that those folks can live stream and still be cautious of their health because they have serious issues. And I have no issue with that whatsoever. But yet, those people who are live streaming, they will, many of them, They will sign on and say, watching, we're with you, or we're listening. You know, thank you for the lesson, or thank you for the worship service, or appreciated the prayer, or I'm so thankful that this was live streamed for Isaac's talk. Isaac did an excellent job in presenting good thoughts about eating the Lord's Supper. People needed to hear that, right? But if you're live streaming, you need to respond that you heard that and you appreciated that. Be seen, be heard, and many are. If you are sick, if you've been around those who are sick or have any symptoms, please practice wise social distancing. We're all for that. I'm talking about those Christians whom we have heard nothing from, seen, or heard anything from. Elders, deacons, members have contacted them and nothing. Yet they're on Facebook, everywhere. That's a problem. When members of a church disappear, that's a problem. So what do we do about that? Well, now that I've got everyone so up and encouraged this morning, since I've motivated you greatly by this wonderful, loving lesson, maybe we can spin it around and end it on a good note. What can we do about that? In the church, elders have a heavy responsibility. And I have encouraged them personally, and they are very cognizant of their responsibility. But I want to say it publicly for them and for you, that we have this church divided up into four groups. There's an elder of each group, and elders ought to be calling every member in their group, if not every member in the church, regularly, and finding out and asking specifically, when you've not seen them or heard from them, where are you? What are you doing? You need to ask that. Deacons. We have multi-deacons in each one of the work groups as well. And deacons need to be checking with each group member. The elderly, the widows, the widowers. And please, Galatians 6, verse 9 says, do not grow weary in well-doing. Each member has a responsibility to call, text, email, FaceTime each member. Again, remember what the text said in 1 Corinthians 12? That there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another? Let's not take the position or the step and say, well, that's just the elder's responsibility. That's just the preacher's responsibility. That's just the deacon's responsibility. No, that's all of our responsibilities. Why? Because we are members of one another. We have the same care for one another. This church has historically been very into caring for each and every one. And I'm not saying today that it has ceased and that is not happening anymore. My concern is we're on that slope. We're on that slope. Get involved in worship. I've had any number of ones say, we were in the parking lot, we had our kids in the car, it was just like a zoo trying to worship God. Kids running here and doing this and that. And it is a challenge. It's a challenge to bring your kids to worship services sometimes. To keep them quiet. To keep the challenge of just, you know, keeping focused. That is a challenge inside too. And so what has happened, because we have live stream, it's much easier to stay at home. My fear is we are using that as an excuse. And what are we doing at home? I have no idea what Christians are doing at home. But you should not be sitting around in your pajamas with your fuzzy slippers on, watching, drinking coffee, the service at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when it was at 10. You need to get up and make sure that you are saying to yourself, to your spouse, to your children, that we take the Lord's Day seriously. Get dressed. Worship the Lord. Show that you love Him. Participate in that. I shared with you on our Facebook page a statement by Josh McKibben, and I thought that was an excellent statement. He read wrote out Matthew 18 and verse 6, which says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Then he made this comment, "The greatest stumbling block for a child in worship is a parent who doesn't." Now let me just be perfectly clear. This is not an indictment about everyone that live streams. This is an encouragement and or warning or admonition and if necessary a rebuke. It could be much easier just to sit at home and let the kids do their thing and run wild. You are not teaching your children the responsibility of the importance of worshiping God. You are creating a stumbling block to your children. They need to know that you're serious about worshiping God. And when it's time to sing, yeah, when we first live streamed, Mary Lou and I were sitting there, and I was even watching myself lead singing, I felt a little bit self-conscious, a little bit uncomfortable, you know, sitting there singing, and it's just Mary Lou and I. But you've got to get past the idea that you're singing to God. We are missing the idea that we're hearing each other and teaching each other. But yet we have got to activate ourselves and motivate ourselves to worship God from the heart. Well, since I've stepped on everyone's toes, let me just make sure that I didn't miss anybody. The church is all about being seen and heard. The Zoom class on Sunday evenings is a work of this church. As members of this church, you ought to participate in that. We've not said that yet. That should have been assumed. You ought to participate in that. And may I be so kind as to say, I appreciate everyone that has participated. It's been good to see you. But there has become a habit that is a little bit annoying. You get on Zoom and you mute the video. And I see your name only. What if I did that? Oh, Brother Saleh, we need to see you. We need to hear you. Amen. I need to see and I need to hear you too. That's what it's about. Is being seen and being heard to encourage each other. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been greatly encouraged. There's been a lot of folks on Zoom. But I would just like to encourage you to step it up just a bit. It would be great to see you. And it would be great to hear you. Because that is what Christians do. They are seen and heard. Not hiding in the shadows. I think I've made everyone mad now. So we can move on to this last point. I think it's very, very important in the home. Fathers and mothers, let me say this lovingly and kindly. The church is not and never has been the main source of your children's Bible learning. The church was never intended to be the number one source of Bible learning. And if anything has challenged us, this has challenged us as mothers and fathers, parents of children. You need to grab that bull by the horns and jump on and do your duty. It is greatly discouraging to me when we are meeting that our young people are having to sit through adult things. That's all they're seeing. I long for the day that our little ones can go back to their classes and on their levels study God's Word and sing and be with other kids. Your kids need that. But I want to say this. They need your guidance and your teaching first and primarily in the home. Make it so. When all is said and done, it won't be the church's fault that your children don't know the Lord. It's your responsibility as a parent that your children know the Lord. Your neighbors. People are worried, they're fearful, they're concerned. Talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about simply a passage like Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Remember that beautiful passage? Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light." I want to suggest that that is one of the greatest opening lines to use to your neighbor who is not a Christian when they are fussing, complaining, fearful, worrying themselves silly over all the violence, over the virus, or whatever. Just by simply saying to them, "Have you ever considered what Jesus said in Matthew 11 and read it to them?" Pray for our leaders. Pray for this virus to be gone. Pray for a vaccine. Pray for the violence to end. Pray what Jesus taught in Matthew 6 and verse 13. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Brother and sister in Christ, we must not allow COVID-19 to shut us down as Christians and as a church. We may be meeting weirdly, differently, not as oftenly. But do not allow this virus to shut you down as a Christian. Let's adapt. Let's be able to be ambidextrous and amphibious. Let us learn to adjust and adapt. And let us be the people that God wants us to be. Well, I don't know about you all, but I feel a lot better since I said all that. That was my psychiatry visit, because I, rather than laid up on the couch, I just stood before you and said what I thought needed to be said. And I hope and pray that if I've made you angry, that you get over that. Think seriously about what I've said. Look at it from the perspective of God's Word and what God wants for you. If we can help encourage anyone, if we can help anyone in any way, that's why we're here. To motivate each other, to help each other. We've got a lot to be praying about. We've got a lot to be thankful for. And I'm thankful for you, and I appreciate your being here today and listening. If you'll take your psalm books, we'll sing the song of that's been selected for the mark. We'll lead us in "There's a Fountain Free." If you need to obey the gospel, we want to encourage you to become a Christian even today. If you need the prayers of the church, we'd be glad to pray with you and pray for you. If you're mad and angry, be singing and praying that you cool down and calm down. If I've sinned against you, I apologize. Forgive me, but please let me know and I will apologize to you. But if what I've said, even if it hurt and stung a little bit, and it is true, then how about this? How about let's be humble enough to accept it and to adapt and love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's who we are. Be seen. Be heard. Be a Christian. Won't you come as we stand and sing?